Blog Talk Radio.
Darn right it is.
This is my daddy on the Saturday flight from the Tower of Power, the very top story in my wavy gravy groovy gravy rocket laboratory, where we're bending every effort and making every test to be sure that our records are always the best. You see, well, before we play them on this crazy wavy air, we dip them in this smoking vat with extra special care. Wearing thick big rubber gloves and using special tongs, we make the Mad Dad acid test on the up-and-coming songs.
Maybe we'll have time for a song. One never knows. Good evening and welcome to Eerie House Oldy Timey Radio. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show, here along with...
Tired from blowing bubbles for Mad Daddy. It's Dick Binkley from Witness Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One. And we're along here with...
Greetings and felicitations. It is the Plague Doctor herself, CW. Plague Mask, be at the ready.
Yes. Bring out your dead. Bring out your dead.
Gotta find
that sound bite. we're doing three, count them, three, not four, not two, but three tales of the plague, or plagues of various and sundry types.
yep.
Oh.
That was a segue into someone else take over.
Well, in that case, ring around the rosies, a pocket full of posies, at you. Since you're all going to fall down and just relax and listen to Eerie House.
Ooh.
Take it away. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you ought to hire her. You ought to hire her.
We can record that and reuse it. Every show is recorded. Tonight, three episodes. We got Escape, we got Weird Circle, and Dave, correct me if I'm wrong, I think first time on Eerie House, Captain Star of Space.
First time indeed, and really, although it was on for a full year or so, it was on two times a week, but there's only a handful of episodes that have survived. Just another one of those. Another one of those shows that were, on the other hand, you have the Weird Circle that not a lot of people remember and such, but it was a ZIV production, just like all those early TV ZIV productions. All of them are intact. All of them are available, just like most of Boston Blackie's and other ZIV productions. It's you get what you get. Well, we only have a handful of the Captain Star, but we sure got a lot of Weird Circles, and we should be circling around back to those a little more often than we do.
Don't say circle back. I don't know.
Circle
at some
wagon.
Point in my life,
circle
I got tired of that phrase. We got, we are so grateful. We got good old Bob and Fogs Bane, of course, in our chat, and special a visitor in the chat, Professor Feather from Psycho Cinema and Unsane Radio. Oi, oi.
Right.
Oh, welcome.
Yeah, so you could say we're plagued with some great listeners too, Dale.
That's the kind of plague I don't want a cure for.
Absolutely. Greetings, chatteteers. Get your medicinal beverage of choice and listen up and listen well.
That's right, because these stories will scare you like hell. especially with current events. Hopefully it won't be too bad. Yeah, they're going to shut it off in May, I think. I don't know. they found the spigot. I don't know what that means.
Everyone, get your adjustable mask on.
Yes, I will be wearing my Lone Ranger mask. That should do it.
High ho sliver, yeah.
No,
I don't worry.
There you go.
I told you guys, I don't worry. I have a protective layer of carcinogens. If anything can get through
there you
that,
go.
Then I was going to go anyway, so whatever.
And all that tar and everything, that'll coat it very nicely.
It's like peanut butter.
Oh, dear. More like that Vegemite. If anyone's ever had Vegemite, I don't know how you have it. If anyone knows what
I've
Vegemite
heard,
is.
I heard it's rather unpleasant to the American palate.
It is. I've had it once. It is loaded with B vitamins. It's vegan, and it tastes akin to, if you've ever been in the vicinity of freshly laid asphalt, that aroma that comes off that, that's how it tastes, at least to this Yankees palate. So, yeah, that's
thought,
it. That, yeah.
I thought yep, black licorice was bad enough, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, but the folks down under love it. Better than peanut butter and chocolate.
Yep.
So any of our netizens listening in the down under part of the world, more power to you. But I've given it a fair try. No, thank you. Please.
Perhaps
no,
it's
thank you.
One of those things they call an acquired taste. It's an acquired taste.
An acquired taste, yes.
Yeah. No, walking on glass is an acquired taste. Walking on hot coals is an acquired taste. This is just a no.
Professor Feather inquires, do you know what the dog said after eating a spoonful of peanut butter? Not a whole lot. That's how you shut them up. You give them peanut butter. And they're like, nam, 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 trying to get it off the roof of their mouth. It's hilarious. Fogsbane, nom, 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 nom.
Yep, Fogsbane got the answer. Nom, 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 nom.
I love a live audience. I love it. They give me so much to work with. well, where shall we start with our radio pleasures?
Well, we can start with our newbie. We can start with our newbie.
Might as well. Let's get that off our plate and on our on our airwaves or radio waves or internet waves.
Wi-Fi
a little bit about that Captain Star space ran from June 2nd, 1953 to May 27th, 1954. This 30-minute show was on the ABC American Broadcast Corporation twice a week on Tuesdays and on Thursdays. And it was starred John Larch. Does that name sound familiar to anyone?
He did a lot of
television and radio, including some of the movies. He was in Play Misty for Me and Dirty Harry. He was Sergeant McCallum in Play Misty for Me, and he was the chief in Dirty Harry. He was also Father Nuncio in Amityville Horror. But where most of us will know him from was in three episodes of The Twilight Zone, Perchance to Dream, Dust, and he played Billy Mumy's father in It's a Good Life.
Ah.
So now we know who he is. Yes.
I know.
You put a face on that name. Awesome.
There we go.
Right.
There you go.
And unfortunately, we do not have any actual broadcast dates from that. There don't seem to be any available. But what I can tell you is this particular program was sometime on a Tuesday or a Thursday from 1953.
From out of the future comes Captain Star of Space! Worlds with Captain Star, ace adventurer of space, thrilling transcribed adventures in outer space and strange and far-off worlds where mystery, intrigue, and danger ride on every space fleet mission with
Star of Space!
Hey, 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 hey.
Nova City Space Station calling Captain Star. Nova City Space Station calling Captain Star. Report for special space mission.
Star reporting as ordered, Commodore Bradford.
Star, this is Dr. Zavor from Medicus, our Earth colony on Venus.
Captain Star?
The doctor is here on an urgent mercy mission. very mysterious plague has struck America.
One that could bring death to every Earthman unless there is some way to stop it immediately.
What type of plague does it seem to be, Doctor?
We're not certain, Captain. It has all the symptoms of both a galactic plague on Callista and a radiant plague on Mercury.
Mm-hmm. Has any treatment been undertaken so far?
We have administered the treatment of both known plagues, but the drugs in each seem to counteract each other. And in most cases, makes the patient worse.
Mm. Dr. Savoy will give you a detailed report, Star, once you're in space. Your ship has been equipped with the necessary emergency medical units requested by Solar Medical Division. You'll blast for Venus immediately.
What's my assignment, sir?
You will assist Dr. Savoy in any way you can to help stop the mysterious America's plague.
Stripes Anderson, Shooting Star to Nova City Spaceport. Come in.
Spaceport to Shooting Star. Stand by to blast.
Well, she's all yours, Skipper.
Right.
Dr. Savoy wants to see you, Skipper, as soon as we're in space.
Very well, Gil.
Forward scanner open.
Ports locked.
File building up. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Release!
Americus is located in a little-known section of the backwoods on Venus. It's only been settled and colonized for a few short Earth months.
Yes, sir, I remember when the colonization started.
And so do I. The entire space fleet was on standby, blue alert. They really expected trouble from the natives.
There was no trouble. The natives haven't been exactly friendly, but at least they haven't been hostile.
The terrain solid graphs show that Americus is flat jungle land, except for a singular chain of mountains.
That is correct. The atmospheric generators were set up in the mountains, so that the valley could be converted to Earth-type atmosphere. The conversion took place 2 Earth weeks ago.
And is this when the plague started?
Yes. At first, I thought that it might be a reaction to the new atmosphere. The colonists threw away their spacesuits, but the few who kept them also became afflicted. So my theory was proved wrong.
Mm. Was a check made with the natives to see if this plague was a local condition?
We tried to make such a check, but we couldn't locate any of the natives.
I see. Well, then it's possible that the natives are either aware of the plague and are avoiding it, or they are responsible for starting it.
It must be considered, Captain.
Yes. Oh, what are your plans, Dr. Savoy?
Solar Medical Division has given me a small supply of Enbrin.
Enbrin is a very rare vaccine.
Yeah, so rare that it can't be made in a great enough quantity to be used by all colonists.
Yes. Then my supply is limited in fresh. I hope that I will be able to find some local drug that can be mixed with the Enbrin that will stop the America's plague.
Oh, that could take weeks, Doctor. I understood from Commodore Bradford that
Skipper,
we have to...
Skipper, come here quick. America's is on the Visiwave. They're calling Dr. Savoy.
Oh. Captain Starr, go ahead, America's.
Hurry. America's plague has taken everything.
Huh?
Women and children first, then...
America's, go ahead. America's, go ahead.
No one left on their feet. We can't.
America's, come in. Shooting Star, America's, come in.
Hey, Skipper, it'd be cut out at the other end.
How long does it take America's plague to kill?
It depends, naturally, but about 48 to 72 atom hours.
We should be able to set down America's in 6 atom hours. That doesn't give us much time to find a way to stop the plague, but that's all the time we have.
Well, can't the Earthians in America get help from Venus Town?
No, each colony in case of disease becomes a single unit under colonization laws. And under existing circumstances, none of you have to remain in America. It is my sole responsibility now.
If we decide to stay, Doctor, what precautions do you suggest?
You mean you'd consider leaving now?
Answer my question, Doctor.
I would suggest an immediate injection of Enbrin.
Then start your inoculations. We're going to America with you.
Emergency wards like this one have been set up in every available building. The small shots of Enbrin have been given for the worst cases.
Uh-huh. Where's Dr. Savoy?
He's experimenting with Enbrin combinations, still trying to isolate the germ.
And who is Angra, the man Savoy wants me to talk to?
A native Venusian.
Oh, I didn't know there were any natives left here.
Well, neither did Dr. Savoy. Angra was cast out of his tribe for being so friendly with the Earth people. Or so he says. This is Angra's bed.
Uh-huh. What's his condition?
Serious, but different from the others.
Different? Different in what way?
Well, his fever isn't quite as high, and the shaking or quivering isn't as violent.
Do all the victims quiver like Angra?
Worse. Angra? Angra. This is Captain Star of the Space Fleet.
Most happy to make acquaintance.
Angra, do you know anything about the America's Plague?
Angra, no, nothing.
Well, have your people ever had anything like it among them?
Cannot talk against tribe's wishes.
But your people have cast you out of the tribe, haven't they?
You must find Chief of Native named Kildar.
Kildar?
Yes. You must hurry. Very little time left. Very little time.
Terrain solid graph, Skipper.
How does it look, Stripes?
Rough. Here, take a look. Mm. You know, it's going to be hard making our way through the jungles to where the natives live.
Then they're not in this vicinity?
They were until the atmospheric generators were installed. Since they're not used to Earth-type atmosphere, they had to leave.
But what about Angra?
Well, oxygen capsules have made it possible for him to stay here.
And then the natives do have a good reason to want to get rid of the Earth people.
One of the best. Dispossession.
America's plague is either a disease common to the locale or something that the natives have created to kill the Earth people.
Mm. Well, if it's common to the locale, then the natives should help us.
All we have to do is find them.
I've just injected an embryo combination into one of the patients.
Any reaction, Doctor?
I won't be able to tell for a few hours. Can only pray it will help.
Hey, what's that? Huh. It's a thunderstorm, Skipper. I didn't know that it rained on Venus, Doctor.
An atmospheric reaction to the new generators. Will this stop you from leaving, Star?
No. No, we'll leave as we planned. In 1 hour.
But you
every
think
minute counts, Doctor. These people in the emergency ward need help as much as they can get. If we can find this Chief Kildar, maybe we can get the information we need.
I only hope the people can hold up.
Stripes, get our space equipment ready.
Right away, Skipper.
If you need Gale, Doctor, we can leave her here with you.
There is nothing to be done here now, Star, except wait. Wait for you to return. Godspeed.
Well, we'll be out of the valley soon.
Yeah, if we don't drown first.
We'll have to use our oxygen headgear.
And I have a small supply of oxygen capsules.
Good, keep them. We'll need them in case something happens to our headgear.
You know, Skipper, I would... Hey, it's a portable communicator. Let me get... Cadet Sergeant Stripes, go ahead.
This is Ivor. Patients have taken a turn for the worst. We have four deaths.
There are some tanks in our ships, Ivor.
Just a minute, Star. I can't hear you.
There are some tanks in our ship. Get them out and put all your patients in suspended animation.
But that won't help the America's plague.
No, but it should help stall the fatalities. It'll at least give us a few hours to find Kildar.
Very well. But hurry, Star. I have a feeling that the end is in sight.
Everyone, test their headgears.
Is your translator working?
Yes.
How about you, Stripes?
You're coming through. Okay, Skipper.
Let's move as fast as we can.
Skipper, I have a feeling that we're being followed.
I know, Gale. I've had the same feeling ever since we left America. You can see the generators from the top of this mountain.
What's that below, Skipper? To our right.
It looks like a temple.
Probably where the natives worship. That's where we'll go.
Right. Jump and Jupiter. Look, Skipper.
Just stand still.
What is it?
It looks like a giant turtle with a Martian wildcat body.
Don't move.
Well, we're not going to stand here and let it kill us, are we?
As soon as it gets about 10 feet away,
What's that?
It's a native. Like angry.
But where did he come from?
I have been following you for many of hours, people.
Who are you?
Remove your headpieces.
Remove
them. Do as I say.
Take them off.
But
give them to me.
But we won't be able to breathe in this atmosphere for long.
Give him the helmet.
You are very wise, man.
But
all right now. Who are you?
Kilda, chief of America's natives. Now, if you will do as I say, no harm will come to you. But if you disobey me, my people will take the necessary steps.
People? What people?
They are all around us, man, but will not show themselves unless I give them a command. shall I prove it?
No, wait a minute. I'm convinced.
What do you want us to do?
Match your wits against ours, man.
What do you mean?
You want to know the secret to the America's plague, do you not?
Yes, we do.
Then it will be up to you to find the secret.
Up to us? What does he mean?
That we're going to play games, I think.
That is correct. Here among my domain, the secret to the sickness that shakes like the conga trees can be found. If you are smart.
All right, it's your game, Kildar. What are the rules?
Huh? I will destroy your helmet.
Oh, my.
We'll never get out of here now, Skip.
Next, I will take your supply of oxygen.
You're not
going to
take mine.
Oh, no. You may keep one. That means you have only a few hours in which to find the secret.
Or
you die. Give me your capsule.
All right. Give him the capsule.
All right.
Give it to him.
Here.
Now, you are free to roam my domain. Good luck, people.
Creepy little freak. Oh, hey, Gar the Ghoul from Little Horror, starring Gar the Ghoul, joins us here on Erie House.
Well, hello there. I noticed there was across town, and I said, "Wait, it's that time, and I'm in the wrong place."
Coming out of your paycheck.
That's the wrong time.
Yep.
Yeah.
Dale, don't worry, Gar. I have a note for you. Said, "Dear Erie House, please excuse Gar for being late. He was busy robbing the bank. I mean, doing my banking for me. Signed, Epstein's mom." So
that's Epstein's mom. Okay, there we go.
Yeah. Wow, I have been vindicated or evaluated or something.
You ought to have your
if the FBI is coming to your front door, though. You know,
that's right.
Just don't answer.
Yeah, it's U.S. Marshals, actually. I think it's the U.S. Marshals.
The best part about that is not having a front door. I think George Carlin said something about that.
Make sure you get your epidermis cleansed. I don't know what that means.
Always. I don't know, but you should do that every day.
You know, Professor
sometimes twice.
Professor Tarr mentioned sci-fi was better on the radio than on 50s TV. I have to agree with that.
Yeah,
I don't know.
So
we had one step beyond.
He was talking about the early 50s kids programs, I think.
Yeah.
Because this is the same thing that was on. Same thing that was on. Same type
early
of thing that was on television.
Yeah.
It sounds so much better here.
There was a Captain Video and a
Tom Corbett
Commander Rocket or something. Yeah.
The special effects are better on radio.
They are. Actually.
Yes, they are.
They are. There's only so much one can do with cardboard and tape.
Yes.
But the fact that they're speaking about the planet going through something akin to a terraforming, now that is really something. You didn't even hear that in the original Star Trek, I don't think.
Not much, no.
No, we didn't get terraforming until Spock died and they sent him down to that planet, remember?
Oh, yeah, yeah. the second movie or third movie. Third movie.
Yeah.
Third movie. There were a few sci-fi books. There were a few sci-fi books. I can't remember them offhand. I think Heinlein touched on it from time to time.
Yeah.
But as for movies and TV, no. So this is sort of a watershed episode mentioning the terraforming Venus, so we can screw it up just like we screwed up Earth. Who are you?
Oh, my God. I can't remember.
The science fiction and the science gets better as we go.
The woman speaking, I forgot her name. It's letters. No, what's her name?
CW.
She just... CW! Oh,
CW.
Yeah, there we go.
Oh.
Sorry.
Actually better known as Dr. Plague tonight. I am Dr. Plague tonight.
Dr. Plague, okay. Dr. Plague, do you recall, I believe, maybe it was Harlan Ellison or maybe it was Ray Bradbury who did the Martian Chronicles?
That
had to be some terraforming in that. Bradbury?
Yes. Yes.
There had to be some terraforming in that, yes?
Exactly. Essentially, Earthlings wiped out the Martians. We're good at wiping out everything, you know. Hey, just get out of the way, you know. If dinosaurs hadn't gotten it by that asteroid, we would have taken care of them.
Yeah, I think the Martians should have fought back stronger. Not let those Weasley Earthlings take over.
No kidding.
We've shared many of Bradbury's tales here.
Yeah, that was all. Yeah, Bradbury did a lot.
One of the original backpacks.
Yeah. Harlan Ellison, who was, that guy was a curmudgeon even when he was a young man. He was just sort of just always itching for a fight.
Yes, he was. And at first that took me unawares, or not unawares. It took me awares that I didn't like him. And then I started to get used to it, and I was like, oh, I like this guy. He is a curmudgeon.
Some curmudgeonly people.
Well, they can be, but they can be off-putting. Maybe that's the word. Pudding? P-U-D-D?
Yeah.
No, P-U-T-T.
They can put you off your pudding. They can put you off your pudding. Even the chocolate pudding, they can put you off. But we digress.
We'll have
that's
none
always
of that.
Better to digress.
That's right.
So Spaceman Star, is that what this is called? I forget.
Captain Star. Captain Star.
Okay. They might have been really imaginative with their storylines, but their naming conventions kind of bite.
I'm waiting for him. Major Comet, Lieutenant.
Sergeant Stripes. Sergeant Stripes.
Wasn't that
the kid's name? Sergeant Stripes?
Could be.
The assistant, the young kid.
Probably. I don't know if that was his name or not, but I'm thinking, I always think of Cadet Happy in, what was it, Captain Video? I mean, come on, give me a break. Can you think of something better?
I mean, Iron Man had Happy Hogan as his bodyguard, but he was not a happy guy.
No.
That was the rub, I guess.
They didn't change the name of that character. They could have altered that a little bit. I'm glad they altered some stuff in Iron Man thing.
Yep.
And CW, I apologize for getting your name. I don't know what's going on with my brain today. But that was weird.
Remember, it was all about me. It was all about me.
It was all about me.
Let's wrap up Captain Star of Space with part two of The America's Plague.
Skipper?
With all the priests here in the temple, it seems to be some sort of religious ritual.
But how is this going to help us find the secret of the American plague?
I don't know. I wish we could... Hey, look, Skipper. There's something down. Look, some natives are carrying a... Well, I can't quite make out what it is.
Looks like very large eggs.
But what could they be?
I don't know.
Aka Lanara Salaka Kara.
Whoa, what's that? They're opening the eggs. Ooh, look.
Great day in the universe, Skipper.
Oh.
Spidery creature comes out of the eggs. Priests decapitate them and throw them out in the crowd.
Yeah, and the natives are eating them.
Oh, how horrible.
Kala Obra, Obra, Obra.
The monster.
The monster?
Yeah, that must be the answer.
What do you mean, what's the answer?
Oh.
Come on, we're going egg hunting.
Still don't get it, Skipper.
Those eggs the natives were opening must be the eggs from the monster that we saw earlier.
Oh, I know, but they were spidery things. In fact, they look like a spider. Well, how could they grow up to look like the monster we saw?
Yes.
Well, a butterfly looks like a worm before it develops, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, why couldn't those monsters resemble a spider before they're grown?
Oh, I'm still not with you, Skipper. I'm in outer space somewhere.
All right, I'll explain later. Right now, let's look through the reeds out there for large eggs.
Okay.
You stay here on the bank, Gail.
Right, Skipper.
Come on, Stretch.
Well, where do you expect these eggs to be?
Somewhere in this vicinity. Remember how Kildar controlled the monster?
Yeah.
Well, that could mean that the monster is worshipped by the natives.
How?
Like the animals on Io. And like animals in ancient history.
I don't get you.
Well, in India, in the 20th century, the natives worshipped white elephants. If anyone abused them, they'd be killed.
Yeah, I remember. But I still don't see...
Stripes! I found one here.
What? He is.
And another one.
Well, come on.
Stripes. Look on the bank.
Hey, it's Gale.
Something's happened. Gale. Gale.
Hey, let's skip her. She's starting to quiver. Does that mean she's got the plague,
too? I don't
know.
We've got to get her back to America.
You cannot leave, people.
What do you mean we can't leave Kildar? We've obeyed your rules.
Yes, but you are much cleverer than I thought.
You mean we found the secret of America's plague?
You'll never live to take us back with you.
Then you never intended to let us out of here alive.
I didn't think you would learn so fast, Esmond.
Kildar, I'll...
Careful, Esmond. You forget that all I have to do is blow this whistle. And my people will do as I command.
What whistle, Kildar?
The one around my neck, good man.
You must have lost it, Kildar. It isn't there.
That can't be...
Grab the whistle, Stripes. Hurry.
I got it.
All right, Kildar. Now we're going to play another game called Back to America. Only this time we're going to play it according to our rules.
You'll never get out alive, us, man.
Then neither will you. Now help Stripes carry Gale. I'll carry the eggs. We're going to America.
My people have already missed me. They will soon overtake you.
Not as long as there's breath in me, Kildar.
You have little breath now, Earthman. You will never last to reach America.
Don't. Bet on that, Kildar. Don't bet on it. Keep moving, Kildar. I haven't breathed my last one yet. Stripes, are you all right? Stripes, can you hear me?
Yeah. Yeah, Skipper. I'm still with you.
It's not far now. We gotta make it.
Yeah. Yeah, we gotta make it. We got to.
Yeah. You can't stop our strikes. You can't. If we stop, we'll never start again.
You are right, Sam.
Skipper, I can't go. I can't.
Stripes.
I've won, Sam. Your friend has gone. Your female friend in my arms is on. You will be next.
Not yet, Kilda. Not yet. Just keep carrying Gale. Don't put her down. Keep moving. I said move.
It's no use, Earthman. The game is over.
Stay back, Gildar. Stay back.
Who are you? Who are you?
I'm with a flash hut. And move and not blast you. Sheen, Clawfoot, give me a hand. Star. Star. Can you hear me? Commodore Bradford. Oh, I hear you. And it's music to my ears.
Dr. Savoy contacted us.
Never mind, Commodore. Take these eggs. Get Kildar to show you how to use them. They can stop the America's plague. We've got to hurry. Then never mind us. We've got to.
You know, Commodore, there are very few times that an enlisted man's glad to see his commanding officer, but, oh, this was one of those times. You know, well, I was so happy I'd even give a few of my stripes back.
Oh,
I let you keep them on one condition.
Yeah, what's that?
That you're right. The Commodore is not a bad guy. 500 times.
Well, there's only one catch to that, Commodore.
What's that, Gale?
Stripes' old trouble is coming out again. He can't write.
Oh, now, wait a minute.
Well, then, Kildar did agree to show Dr. Savoy how to use the monster egg, huh?
Yes. After some persuasion.
Well, then the drug you needed, Dr. Savoy, for the America's plague was in the spidery creature in the egg, huh?
Yes. And I have also found many other uses for the special drug that can be obtained from this source. It will be a big boon to Solar Medical Division. We have taken Kildar prisoner. And he will stand trial. We have talked to his people. They are willing to help the colonists here any way that they can. In fact, they are moving back into the valley just as soon as they learn how to make the necessary adjustments to Earth-type atmosphere. It'll be a great help to our colony, Captain Starr. And the people of America's will always be grateful to you.
Well, Doctor, it proves once again that there is some good in all people. And as long as that's true, we'll have a great universe.
Star of the Space Fleet is based on characters created by Tom Hubbard and written for radio by Tom Hubbard and Fred Eggers. John Larch is heard as Captain Star, Jane Harlan as Gale Archer, and Tom Hubbard as Cadet Sergeant Stripe. Captain Star comes to you transcribed from Hollywood.
A cartoon is coming.
I know. It's like a circus.
No kidding.
Where's Huckleberry Hound?
Exactly.
Hey, someone stopped the ice cream truck. The ice cream truck went down the street.
You boys and girls, it's your old pal Bozo.
Stop, I want a double dip cone with sprinkles.
It's intermission time.
That's right, get your popcorn at the snack bar.
Get the jumbo right. Size milk duds.
That's right. Erie House Radio proudly presents Gar's Moral of the Story.
Living in Rome? Buy a road map.
Ooh. It was a one Slim Whitman soundbite.
I'll call you guys good back. Something's weird to the connection. Don't know what it is.
I don't know. Well, that takes care of Captain Star on his... Uh-oh, we just lost Gar.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, he said he's calling back. Sure. He's calling back. He's going to get a better line.
I'm sure he'll be back.
Cool. Good man.
Oh,
tell that hamster to pedal faster.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Or, you know, try McDonald's web access versus Burger King. Their internet tends to be a little better on a Friday.
All right. He has fed the hamster, and the wheels are spinning.
Wow. A little bit. I think one of my hamsters stopped spinning, but the other one's going pretty good.
All right. That's good. Powered up. Here we go. Yeah, we got more on the plague. And before we get to our next feature, since we've got some bonus time.
Okay.
I got something here.
You must have something planned here.
I do.
And while he's planning that, I have a question for you guys.
Bring out the dead. Here's one. Ninepence.
I'm not dead.
What? Nothing. Here's your ninepence.
I'm not dead.
There. He says he's not dead.
Yes, he is. I'm not.
He isn't?
Well, he will be soon. He's very ill. I'm getting better.
No, you're not. You'll be stone dead in a moment. Oh, I can't take him like that. It's against regulations.
I don't want to go on the car.
Oh, don't be such a baby. I can't take him.
I feel fine.
Well, do us a favour. I can't. Well, can you hang around a couple of minutes? He won't be long. No, I've got to go to Robinson's. They've lost 9 today. Well, when's your next run? Thursday.
I think I'll go for a walk.
You're not fooling anyone, you know. Look, isn't there something you can do?
I feel happy.
Ah, thanks very much. Not at all. Right.
Every plague, every single plague should go just like that.
Do you folks find it weird that we have actually supposedly lived through a plague in recent times?
It is bizarre. It is still fresh. It should still be fresh in everyone's mind when you can pretty much look at the webcams of New York City, Times Square, and see no cars, no traffic jam, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Major cities just stopped.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there goes the carbon emissions. Anyway, for a while.
For one brief shining moment, the Earth could take a deep breath and not cough.
Yeah.
I could hear it wheezing.
So true.
So,
I still advocate the carcinogens. No, I don't advocate.
No.
I do not advocate. But I do have, I advocate some old-timey radio. We got a couple, got a whole lot.
Got a whole lot of radio.
Well, you might not advocate, but you participate.
Oh, every opportunity I get.
And you, on the odd occasion, maybe agitate?
Uh-huh.
Sorry.
It's all good.
Well, I am the plague doctor tonight, so it's the plague.
Why don't we take a visit to the Scarlet Plague from a show called Escape?
Ah. Okay.
Or
Escape.
Yeah.
Is that the one?
Is it?
Yes.
And this is a Bill Conrad intro, is it not?
It is. It's a great one. Yeah.
It was either he or Paul Frees that did the intro, but I believe this is a Bill Conrad one. Yes.
Oh,
yeah,
each voice is as good as the next in that case. I'll take Paul Frees any day.
Absolutely.
But Mr. Bill, Mr. Large Bill, he's good too. This episode, The Scarlet Plague, with an original broadcast date of
April 8th, 1954.
Tired of the everyday grind? Ever dream of a life of romantic adventure?
And crime.
Want to get away from it all?
Goats.
We offer you escape.
Escape, designed to free you from the four walls of today for a half hour of high adventure.
Alone in a world of decay and desolation, looking down on what was once a great city, while coming slowly to meet you, her hand stretched out in greeting to you, is a beautiful girl whose very existence may be the cause of your death.
Listen now as Escape brings you Jack London's classic novel, The Scarlet Plague.
I am recording this only for myself, for my own sanity, perhaps even from some age-old sense of duty, for I have not the slightest hope that it will ever be heard by any living human being. I was at one time a professor of English literature in the great university at San Francisco, Professor James Smith, a man who believed in reason and intellect and who abhorred the instincts of animal nature. But that was before the terror and the madness of the Scarlet Plague. This morning I killed a sheep with my bare hand. Then, squatting on the ground, I tore a haunch from my prey and ate it raw. It began simply on a Monday morning, as I recall. I was having breakfast at the counter in the campus cafeteria with Bill Dombey of the physiology department. He was glancing over the front page of the morning paper.
I don't know why I do it, Jim.
Do what?
Buy a paper every morning. Nothing changes but the date. Senator so-and-so back in Washington after whirlwind tour. Love nest killing in Omaha. New bomb tested into a talk scheduled
what,
for the...
What's that item down at the bottom?
Where?
Down the corner. New York fights Scarlet Plague.
Some news reporter's pipe dream, I suppose. Nine persons have died since last evening of a strange malady which has left doctors at Manhattan hospitals admittedly baffled. The disease, if it is a disease, strikes without warning and slays its victim in less than an hour. Apparently, the first symptoms are a feeling of well-being and lightheadedness, accompanied by a slight rise in temperature. A few minutes later, a fiery red rash appears on the hands and face and spreads rapidly over the entire body. Within 10 to 30 minutes, the victim goes into coma and dies. It's ridiculous. There's no disease that acts like that. It's food poisoning, something of that sort.
Please, Bill, I'm eating.
Medical authorities are unanimously agreed, however, that no general danger exists and that there is no cause for public concern or alarm, which is double talk for we don't know what it is yet.
What about a mutation?
Mutation of what?
Well, how do I know? You're the physiologist.
Oh, you're talking about those scare stories, I suppose. Harmless virus or bacteria mutates and throws down some new deadly type. Antibiotics won't touch it. Medical science helpless. A million people wiped out overnight.
It's a possibility, isn't it?
No, Jim, bacteria strains are always mutating. And usually the mutation is less harmful than the parent. That idea has been overworked for years. Pass the cream, please.
No. Bill?
Hmm?
Is it a possibility or not?
Yes, it's a possibility. Hey, you're stalling, Jim. That rook's the only piece you can move, and you know it.
Don't rush me now. I still got the queen back here. Now, let's see.
And here is the latest development on the Scarlet Plague.
No, the Scarlet
Plague. The following
plague.
Statement was released a few minutes ago.
I wouldn't
by
move
the
there, how are you?
The Bureau of Public Health. Up to this hour, the official death toll in Greater New York is 321 persons. In Boston, 94. Washington, D.C., 111. Chicago, 181. Medical
spreading like wildfire, yeah.
Working around the clock. It is expected momentarily that the causative agent of the disease will be isolated and an effective treatment prescribed. Meanwhile, stay home and stay calm. We return you now to dance time.
Turn it off, Jim. How can it spread so fast?
It's hard to tell, not knowing the period of incubation, whether it's airborne, contagious by contact, how long it's contagious before the symptoms show up, not even knowing what it is, in fact. One thing's sure, though, something's got to be done fast.
I guess we can call ourselves lucky out here. There hasn't been a case reported in San Francisco.
No, not yet.
When all the breathers of this world are dead, you still shall live. Such virtue hath my pen, where breath most breathes, even in the mouths of men. Now, I did not choose this particular sonnet because of possible contemporary suitability, but because it does, I think, best keynote the transitional phase that later appears in the philosophies and the poetic... Is something wrong back there?
Mrs. Smith!
Yes, what's the trouble, Miss Baxter?
Mrs. Smith! It's the scarlet plague!
Oh, now wait! Now wait! Marley, Everett, wait and give me a hand here. Miss Wilson.
Professor Smith, look at my hands. My arms all red.
Now, Miss Wilson.
I feel so strange. Cold and numb. I'm dying. Everyone who gets it dies. I'm only 19 and I'm dying.
There, there.
When all breathers of this world are dead, you...
Now it's in San Francisco. I sat for a long time in the empty classroom, paralyzed by shock, by a strange fear I'd never felt before, the fear of the unknown. The girl had walked into my class smiling and talking, and now she lay dead at the back of the room. Why? How could it happen so suddenly? What had caused the plague? Where had the terror started? And where would it end? I went to the faculty club. Bill Dombey was listening to the latest reports.
From around the nation include the following figures. Greater New York, estimated 184,000 deaths. Philadelphia, estimated 150,000 deaths. St. Louis, estimated 83,000 deaths. Chicago, one moment, please. A bulletin has just been handed to me from London. The Scarlet Plague is raging in Europe. Unofficial reports from Russia estimate the death toll in Moscow at 180,000 with additional... millions dead and dying throughout the Soviet Union and China. New bulletins will be broadcast whenever they are received for as long as our facilities last. And we...
No word of any cure yet? Jim, I didn't hear you come in. I just walked across the campus. It's completely deserted.
Yes. Guess the faculty club here is the only holdout. And at that, there are only four.
Four?
Counting you, Myra Blake of Graphic Arts. She went over to her room to pack some keepsakes. She'll be back. Dr. Barnes is out in the kitchen trying to rustle up something to drink.
Bill, that girl who died in my class a while ago, one minute she was all right, and a minute later she was dead.
Well, it's fast. That's one thing.
Can you get it from contact? I lifted her head. I put some books under it.
Nobody knows how you get it. I don't suppose contact matters much. It couldn't be all contact. Not millions of cases in less than 48 hours.
Well, why can't they find a cure? They've had 2 days now. What are they all doing?
Dying, Jim, like everybody else.
Dombey, Smith.
Oh, Dr. Barnes.
Here, maybe this will help.
Gotch.
Why not? The whole case of it out there. I think it might be a good idea to keep that radio on.
Yes, you're probably right, Dr. Barnes. Technicians, engineers, they've died by thousands all over the country. How much longer can services like radio, telephones, transportation...
Minutes ago. All conveyances, regardless of ownership or occupancy, are being stopped and turned back at Army control points. Stay where you are. Do not attempt to travel. You are no safer in one place than another. The plague is everywhere. Repeat, the plague is everywhere.
It won't stop, they'll still try to run.
Yes, also anywhere, just as long as it's somewhere else.
Not mutinied. Repeat, the Army has not mutinied.
It must be getting rough out there.
Signed by Edmund C. Dover, Senate member and acting president of the United States, and by the Joint Chiefs of Staff. In a bulletin just handed to me, Johns Hopkins regretfully states that Dr. Theodore von Zwickler, who had earlier announced partial success in identifying the causative agent of the plague, has just died. Though Dr. Zwickler left no notes on his work, hospital personnel continued to...
What happened to the lights?
Power failure, I guess. It was bound to happen sooner or later.
There's a flashlight in that desk drawer.
I got it.
There's a portable radio with batteries in the game room.
Oh, let's leave it for the moment, Dr. Bond.
Yes, the liquor sounds better than the news.
Well, in that case, I wonder what's keeping Miss Blake. She was coming right back.
Hey, wait a minute.
Huh?
Where's that light coming from?
Looks like a fire. Maybe we can see from the windows.
Not one fire, 1,000 fires.
Down there, toward the bay. Berkeley, Oakland, and over in the city. Why? What started them?
Open. Can't you hear why, Jim?
Gunfire.
Yes. They're not waiting for the plague to do the job.
No. They're already out in force. The looters, the maimers, the robbers, people with a hate and a grievance.
If it started already, it'll get a lot worse.
Oh, yes. It'll get worse.
Ooh, Escape. Giving us some chills and adventure.
Kind of reminds me of a couple other programs that we shared here, Dale. One was a two-part Escape with John Daner called Earth Abides. And another one was the X-1 Courtesy, starring our good friend The Shadow, Brett Morrison.
Yep. Those are both good shows.
Yeah. I'm liking this. This has a little bit of the tension of Dr. Isaac Asimov's Nightfall to it as well.
This sparked in me a memory of The Last Man on Earth, 1964, Vincent Price, and The Omega Man, 1971, Charlton Heston.
Same story.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Same story, just a different mix. But I'm sorry, in the beginning, I was on mute, of course, but I was kind of falling on the floor laughing. They're talking, discussing, having a meal, talking cavalierly about bacteria, and then one of them asked, pass the cream cheese.
Yeah.
And you're talking about bacteria. Okay. Yeah.
I didn't lose sight of that either. It was kind of revolting.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be off cream cheese for a while after that.
Yeah.
But the twist on that is, of all the maladies that have come down the pike, we've been able to overcome bacteria. Virus, forget about it. Bacteria, we've got a workaround for that.
Yeah, I mean, we are making super bacteria that you really have to beat down with a stick, but you need a bulldozer and a couple of sticks of TNT to take care of a virus.
Well, yeah. Eventually, these things are getting stronger and mutating, and we're going to be done. Yeah, that's going to be our swan song, I guess.
And I can't wait.
You,
know,
you can't wait.
Swan song.
Okay. I'm selling tickets.
I'm over here.
Wait. There'll be no crying on this show.
Yep, bring it up.
There'll be no crying on this show. We're only going to have fun.
Until.
Because we would hate to, bring about sad feelings on this show.
Oh, yeah, we don't want to do that. Let's keep it. Yo-meal. Where's the jocularity?
any sappier than that? I think not.
I think it could be, but we'll have to work on it.
It's so sappy, the maple tree outside of my place is starting to run.
Poor Will Robinson crying in his pillow for one reason or another. Just very sad. Very sad music. Hey, let's wrap up Escape. The Scarlet Plague.
You are listening to The Scarlet Plague, tonight's presentation on Escape. Sunday afternoon, CBS Radio will bring you another of its successful on-the-scene reports gathered by its feature project team. This time, we'll take you to the United States' wide-open back door, the Mexican border, the crossing point for 2 million illegal entrants last year alone. We call this report the wetback, because that's what so many of these illegal entrants are called as they swim the Rio Grande into the United States. Hear the wetbacks Sunday on most of these same stations.
Unreal.
And now, Escape, and the second act of The Scarlet Plague.
Stood at the window of the faculty club, looking out across the campus, down over the hills toward the bay, where fires lit up the growing night, and where even fiercer fires of greed and lust and hate burned in hearts that were beating their last hours or even seconds of life in this world. For a world was dying at our feet, and though we had so far been spared, we knew we, too, were dying with it.
Contact is still being maintained with Buenos Aires. And since London overseas went silent a few minutes ago, this is now our only contact outside continental North America.
It makes you know you're
we
alone.
We are at present able
really
to maintain
alone.
Contact with only two stations in this country, Washington and Chicago. The West Coast has been silent for some 30 minutes. And we do not know whether we are being heard there at this time.
Oh, this is unbelievable.
At the moment, we are waiting for word
from
Washington naming the new president of the United States to replace Edmund C. Dover, who died on the Senate platform while attempting to conduct...
What's the use?
Well, are we still agreed on leaving?
We must. If by some miracle we do survive, we'll be out of food here in 3 days. And tonight may be the last chance to find any. Probably looting every store in the Bay Area.
Grocery stores, liquor stores, jewelers, fur shops.
More the reason to get started now, then.
Right. If we can make 3 or 4 trips with the station wagon tonight, we ought to be set here for quite a while. What about those pistols, Dr. Barnes? You said there were a couple in the safe.
Yes, I'll get them.
It's funny how things are changing. He was chancellor of this university. Now he's foraging for food.
Yes, well, I'll gas up the station wagon and get it over here so we can...
Is anybody here?
Well, Jim, turn that flashlight on the door.
Myra.
Jim, thank heaven you're still here.
Oh, Dr. Barnes was worried about you, Myra. He just went into the other room. I'll tell him you're here.
All right, Jim. I was afraid there might not be anybody here. I was hurrying to get back, and I caught my heel on the edge of the walk and fell. I think I hit my head.
Tripped and fell. The whole world dying, and you trip and fall.
I guess it is funny.
Myra? Bill,
what is it?
What's wrong?
Dr. Barnes is lying just outside. Dead.
Plague?
Yes. But he got the pistols.
Yeah. Thanks. Do you know how to use one of these, Jim?
In a general way. Well, we'd better get started, Bill. We shouldn't be too long, Myra.
You're not going to leave me here alone.
Oh, she's right, Jim. I wouldn't want to be left alone either.
All right. Let's go. We tried the Oakland docks first, the big food warehouses along the railroad tracks. It was a dead end. From a mile away, we could see the blaze towering into the night sky. The whole dock area was in flames. We swung the station wagon back onto the ramp and headed across the Bay Bridge toward the city itself, fighting our way in and out of the jumbled traffic and the terrified crowds on foot, turning and twisting among the dead and dying.
I've got to go back, Bill. This is getting worse every block.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to get a chance to turn around.
There's an alley there by the hotel. Maybe you can edge in there.
Worth a try, anyway.
Look out,
bumping into?
Sorry?
I ain't taking a pushing around from nobody. Not anymore, you understand?
I told
That's
you
That's on
I
account
was...
of what I got. You take a look at a 45, wise
oh,
guy.
Careful, Bill. He's drunk.
Look close, and you can see the bullet coming out. Watch now.
No!
I bet he saw it all right. I bet he got a real good look.
He's crazy, Myra. Come on, hurry. We've got to get out of here.
What about the other man?
We'll leave the car. Come on, out this side. This way, Myra. The hotel entrance. Out of the way. One side. Step aside. All right, come on.
What can we do, Jim? They saw us come in. They'll be after us any second.
The stairway there, next to the elevators. Hurry, Myra. Maybe we can find a room, someplace to hide in case they come up the stairs.
Try that one, Jim.
All right.
Hey, look! We've got more guests.
Sorry.
Come on in and live. That's what all of us are doing. Living while we're dying.
Party.
Come on in. We got plenty to eat, plenty to drink. 50 pounds of diamonds, tons of money, lots of women, and not a worry in the world.
Come on, Myra, let's go.
Soar ahead! Come on, let me open another bottle.
Jim, where can we go?
Well, the hotel's about 12 or 14 stories high. The elevators aren't working. I doubt if anybody'd bother us on one of the top floors. They wouldn't have any reason to climb up there. You want to try it?
All right, Jim.
Let's go. For 5 days, we stayed on the top floor of the hotel, and no one came up to bother us. Twice, with pistol in hand, I left Myra in the room and slipped down into the streets to forage for food and supplies. Gradually, over the 3 days, I saw the mobs diminish, thin out, as the Scarlet Plague continued to rage unchecked. Then finally, on the morning of the 6th day, I brought Myra down from the room to see what had happened to the city.
There's not a person in sight, Jim. No one but us. Not another living soul as far as you can see.
Listen. There's not a sound.
A dead world. There must be others, Jim. Not just us. They're hiding. We'll take a car and drive and look for them. There must be others.
But she was wrong. We drove for 100 miles, all over the city and the countryside around it. And when we finally stopped on a hill above the bay, we knew that there was not another living soul in the whole city. We were the only human beings left alive in San Francisco, and most likely the only ones in the entire world.
But why, Jim? Why us and no one else?
I don't know why. I don't know why any of this. It's just too vast to begin to comprehend. But we're alive. That's the only thing that's certain. We're both alive. To be alone, to be the only living human in the world, would mean terror, absolute terror and insanity.
I feel guilty somehow, being alive when everyone else is dead.
No, there can't be any guilt when you don't have a choice. It was nothing we did. And besides, Myra, don't you see what it means? Since we've been spared, mankind itself has been spared, and civilization. We'll have children. We'll teach them. See that they remember and pass on the greatness of the past.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Together. Together we can do it. We can give mankind another chance. You and I, Myra, we can keep it from being lost forever. Together, everything is different. There's a new hope, something to live for and work for. And we...
wrong, Jim?
Myra.
What?
Your face. It's turning scarlet.
Under the direction of Norman McDonald, Escape has brought you The Scarlet Plague by Jack London, specially adapted for radio by Les Crutchfield, starring Vic Perrin. Featured in the cast were Parley Bear, Virginia Gregg, and John Daner, with Eleanor Tannen, John Larch, Barney Phillips, and Sam Edwards. Your announcer, George Walsh. The special music for Escape is composed and conducted by Leith Stevens. Next week.
You are standing in the bedroom of an English inn, the sound of revelry coming faintly up the stairs. While in the shadows across the room from you, the gun in his hand already aimed at you, is an enemy agent whose success depends upon your death.
So listen next week when Escape brings you Ben Wright's story, Affair at Mandrake. Every Saturday evening at the Star's Address, enjoy William Conrad as Marshal Matt Dillon in Gunsmoke. It's a drama of the frontier of America in the 1870s. Authentic, dramatic, and full of the lore that made the American cowboy a part of our national heritage.
Yeehaw!
Gunsmoke, Saturday night. Mr. Keene, Tracer of Lost Persons, is heard Friday nights on the CBS Radio Network.
Eerie House Radio proudly presents yet another Gar's Moral of the Story.
The best thing you can do if you ever break out in red spots is connect the dots.
There we go.
And I've got to disagree with that last premise, because the permutation of one and one is not going to go very far in continuing the race, contrary to some published statements that are out
it
there.
It might work in some southern states. It could.
Or on the island of the UK. Maybe there.
Yeah, possibly, yeah.
Yeah.
But what are the odds? Uh-huh. Don't that music scares me. Bad memories of college. Anyway,
you were attacked
you
by an angel.
That's right.
Those guys said, "Game over, man. Game over."
Yeah.
So was
Gunsmoke the original Yellowstone? I wonder.
Squeal, squeal, squeal like a pig. A happy pig. I don't know.
Oh.
That was disturbing. That whole thing. Yeah.
It's supposedly an allegory, but.
Yeah.
What's so?
And CW, I had to go on the internet and describe what I was talking about to get the word permutation, even though I made straight A's in algebra. I can't remember anything. Permutation.
That's why algebra is dangerous. You may know algebra, but you don't know anything else. It takes up every bit of your brain capacity. So that's why I say algebra. Yuck.
I didn't know there was going to be math tonight.
Oh, yeah. Well, they started.
Well, yeah, there's going to be a quiz, too.
Oh, no. Well.
I want to talk about a plague. Yeah, algebra, trigonometry.
I did get the first question of the quiz. I do understand it's going to be, how many goats does it take to change a light bulb? Dave, your answer?
My answer is simply, yep.
That's right.
One is all it takes. There you go. I'm going to agree.
We can have our own, we can write our own drama, Tales of the Screaming Goat.
Oh, my.
It was all a bad dream.
I don't know. Has anyone, have we ever explored the reason the goat screams?
He's trying to figure out how man survives if there's only one of each gender out there. And he just screams. I would scream, too. There you go.
I don't know. I'd be kind of tossed up about like restarting population, but I wouldn't mind going through the motions. Anyway,
it was more. And I apologize to CW on this. It was more a statement of that guy's finally going to get lucky.
and if he doesn't, what does that say?
What does that say about him?
If you were the last
man, no thanks.
Yep.
That's okay.
I wouldn't date you if you were the last man on the planet of the planet Earth.
The last man on Earth.
That's a bad mojo there.
Yep. Now see what you did.
Yeah. The last person on Earth. First of all, I'd go and get that super high-end gaming laptop, a game with the computers that says no one to game with, that which is perfectly fine by me. Then I stroll down Rodeo Drive and pick up all kinds of nice stuff, you know, that sort of thing.
My first stop is the grocery store before the freezers cool off.
Oh, there's that. You want to do that? Well, you can get the food drive stuff. I'd go through the Army Surplus store.
Yep, that's good, too.
All the things you need.
Beans will last forever. Raw beans, if you can get a sack of beans or two or ten.
Yeah, they last far longer than digestion. Talk about pollution.
Hunt fish or farm. Hey, you know, we got a lot of radio left.
How about we wrap up
with a good one, the weird circle with a tale called The Great Plague.
Yeah, let's do that.
That was a good idea.
Broadcast way back. Some time ago.
There you are.
I believe it was.
The Great Plague, December 5th. December 5th, 1943, according to old-time radio downloads.
We'll take that as a source.
Okay.
The weird circle. In this cave by the restless sea, we are met to call from out of the past stories, strange and weird. Bellkeeper, toll the bell. So that all may know we are gathered again in the Weird Circle.
Of a world gone by, speak again the immortal tale, the Great Plague.
My name's C. Farrell, and as I've often said, I'm willing to learn to do anything, as long as I can earn me enough to keep a roof over me head and food in me stomach. It was at lunchtime yesterday that I first came to this blasted town of Newport in Monmouthshire and took myself to the nearest inn to see about a bite for the inner man. I stood at the doorway looking in, and who do I see but me old friend and pal, Grigsby, the greatest thief what ever lived. Yes, it was Grigsby, looking as if he'd never slept on a London bench in his life, eating as full and hearty a meal as I've ever seen. At the same time I see him, he sees me, and he shouts,
"Faro! Well, well, well.
Grigsby, my boy, you're looking as well as the Prince of Wales."
"I'm fit." "Yes, fit, Faro."
"Fit for what?"
"For whatever you got in that pig like mine. Sit down, Faro, sit down. I've been looking for a man like you. I want you to meet a friend of mine. Fender, this is C. Faro."
"Glad to meet you."
"Cheery sort of bloke, what?"
"Oh, he ain't very cheery, but you get used to him. You have to. He's a friend of mine."
"Why not? Since you're asking the question, Mr. Bender, you're the one that must answer it, eh?"
"Have you eaten lunch yet, Faro?"
"Lunch, is it now? Getting swank, eh? I haven't had a morsel in 3 days."
"Broke again, Faro, eh? You'll never learn to make your way in this world. You ought to make some plans for yourself."
"I try, Grigsby. Honest, I do."
"Bender."
"Yep."
"Show this bloke how to pick a pocket, eh?"
"Well, it's simple. Look at the table next to the bar. See the old man there? That's old Peter. He's the caretaker for the largest house in town. He always carries the keys to the silver closet and his money in his left-hand pocket."
"Why his left pocket?"
"He's left-handed."
"Live and learn, Faro. Live and learn."
"Now, all I have to do is walk by him, pass the time of day pleasant-like, pick his pocket, and we'll all have lunch money, and my friend Grigsby will have the silver closet keys."
"A very important item."
"What if you get caught?"
"Bender caught." "Never." "I taught him how to do it. Now, watch and learn, me boy. I'll make something out of you yet."
"I'm watching."
"Go ahead, Bender."
"Keep your eye on me. I'll be right back."
"See the way he walks across the room, just as if he doesn't care? Swaggering, swinging his shoulders like?"
"Yes, I'm watching. He walks easy."
"Now, look. He stops at the man's table, talks a while, smiling all the time."
"What's he saying?"
"How should I know, Fanny? It don't matter what a man says. What matters is he's saying, just saying it. Now, watch his hand there. Stealing into the left pocket there. Ah, he's got it."
"He has, for a fact. Yeah, he's got the wallet. And the keys, too."
"Oh,
it's quite a trick."
"Yeah, it's quite a trick. And I taught it to him. If you want to learn something, Faro, I told you before, stick to Grigsby and you may commit the money. I got big plans for myself this night with old Peter's silver closet keys. Should I count you in?"
"As I said before, and I'm saying it again, I'm willing to learn." So I stuck with Grigsby and Bender. We left the inn in the late afternoon. Grigsby had big plans on his mind, it seems. He was walking fast down the village road toward the biggest house in the town. Me and Bender was walking behind.
"Come on, you two. Get a move on, will you?
Can't walk faster than the legs will go."
"Haven't you two on my hands, I'll never get anything done tonight."
"Oh, I'm sorry, Grigsby, but I'm hurrying as best I can. What are you up to?"
"Look at the end of the road there. That's the house ahead of us. You know who that house belongs to?"
"How should I know?"
"It belongs to the richest family in the old county."
"The family's out of town, I hear."
"That's right, Bender. Family's out of town. And the only person living there is old Peter and his young granddaughter, Evie."
"Imagine. Old Peter alone with a young child."
"Yes, imagine. An old man and a young girl without any protection."
"What are you thinking of, Grigsby?"
"Oh, a simple plan, Faro. I've been working on this plan for days. A plan to steal the silver. It's worth a fortune, and it's easier than taking candy from a baby."
"Now I see why you stole the keys."
"Well, there's the house. We have to wait around here till midnight. When midnight comes, I'll knock on the door, and old Peter will open it. Then Bender here clubs him over the head. And I goes in, gets the silver and the money, and we leave town."
"What about the child?"
"Ah, that's where you come into the plan, Faro. You're a little fellow. Good at crawling through windows."
"What do I do when I get through the window?"
Find the child and get it out of the way before she starts to shriek and holler.
I ain't no child murder, Grigsby. I ain't.
I gotta teach you the hard way, Fatto, or you never learn at all.
But
don't butt me, Fatto, or I'll cut your throat for you.
I'll cut his throat for him.
You heard him, Fatto. Bender's good at cutting throats. I taught him.
But I got a wife and kid of me own. I can't go fighting little children.
Use the knife, Bender.
Good idea.
No, wait a minute. Don't be hasty. I never was a man not to change me mind.
Change his mind. So you'll change your mind, eh?
I thought you'd come to my way of looking at it. Yeah. Look over there, playing in the yard. It's the little girl herself, all alone. Now, if you're smart, Fatto, you'll take a word of advice.
I don't think I need no advice right now.
You might need it this evening when we start to work. Now, talk to the little girl for a while. Find out what room she lives in. And you might even ask what kind of silver the family's hoarding.
Oh, she's a pretty little thing. Look at her, playing by herself, nice as you please. Like a regular little lady.
It's easier to kill a child than a grown-up. They die easy, fast.
Go on, Bender, don't joke with a bloke. He's getting pale.
Go on, Fatto. Are you going to talk to her, or do I have to convince you with me knife?
I'll talk to her.
Well, just sit over on the side of the road and watch her.
I don't need no watching.
We'll watch anyway. Just walk right up to her and speak.
Hello, little girl.
Who are you?
Who am I? Why, I'm a friend of yours.
Do you know my grandfather, old Peter?
No, not personally, but I've heard of him.
Do you know my name?
Now, what is your name?
Evie. I live in that house over there.
It's a right nice house, Evie. Which room is your room?
Don't you know?
Should I?
Of course, everybody knows Evie's room. Grandfather says he says it's 'cause it's a special safe room just for me. Guardian angels watch over me all the time.
Of course. Where is your room?
On the second floor in the back of the building right over the kitchen entrance. There's a special porch off my room.
A porch?
Yes. Now I told you about me. What about you? What's your name?
My name's C. Farrell.
C. Farrell? That's a funny name. Where do you live?
Any place I can find for me to live? On the grass or in a haystack, in an alley, in a doorway of a shop?
Is there a second floor for you to sleep on in all these places?
I suppose so, Evie.
I like you. Wish I could stay with you longer, but I can't.
Well, where are you going?
Home. My grandfather told me to come in promptly at 5 or I'll catch cold. He worries about me awful. He always does. Goodbye, Steve Farrell.
Goodbye, Evie.
Bye.
Goodbye. Goodbye, Evie. Goodbye. Ah, pretty little girl she is.
Nice work, Fatto. Quite nice work.
If I say so myself, I couldn't have done a better job. One would almost think the little girl liked you.
One would, eh? Well, maybe she did.
Don't make no difference now. We'll just take a look around the grounds and then wait. Amanda, wait till midnight. Stick around, Fatto. You're going to learn something tonight.
Till midnight. Might even get a few hours sleep.
Grigsby led the way, and as I said, I'm willing to learn. As we walked around the ground, I kept looking at the second floor, and my heart sunk. Child killing? That just ain't in my line. For an hour or so, Grigsby studied the land, and then Andy led us to a little grove on one side of the field where we sat down to wait. Bender, the big fella, fell asleep. Grigsby kept one eye on me and one eye on the house. And all of a sudden, I realized it was starting to rain. But rain or no rain, we just waited and waited until the church clock struck 12.
Bender was fast asleep when Grigsby said...
Bender! Hey, Bender! Wake up! It's midnight now.
Midnight? So soon. Blast me if it ain't raining. It's been raining for hours. We ought to forget the old thing.
We ain't forgetting nothing. Come on, Fatto. Get on your feet and get a move on.
I'm on my feet.
Ready, Bender?
I'm right behind you, Grigsby.
Well, follow me, both of you.
The ground is wet, Grigsby. Not a night to do this job. I'm superstitious about the rain.
Shut up.
Well, I am.
Well, gentlemen, there's the house right ahead of us. Imagine everyone's sound asleep. Fatto.
Yes, Grigsby?
We'll walk you to the back of the house and give you a boost up over the ledge of the kitchen porch.
Yes, Grigsby.
Go on, get a move on.
I'm moving.
Shh, both of you.
There's the porch. You think you can climb it, Fatto?
I don't know. Honest, I don't.
You better now. Climb up on that ledge and stay there until you hear me pound on the front door.
Then what?
When I pound on that door, climb in that open window and take care of that kid.
She won't feel nothing. Just one quick jab in the heart and she's dead. Here, Fatto. Just as a special favor to you, I'll lend you me own knife. Well, go on, take it.
Yes, all right, I will.
Well, Fatto, you ready?
I'm as ready as I'll ever be, I suppose.
Climb on me back and I'll give you a boost to the ledge.
Now, don't forget, Fatto, if that child ain't dead, you will be.
Yes, exactly. The goat knows. The goat knows.
Yes. That's right. Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? The goat knows.
The goat knows.
Goat knows all.
I wonder if you could train a goat to be a watch goat.
It's an omniscient watch goat, yes.
That would be great. A watch goat. Burglar comes up, and all of a sudden the goat screams. You say nothing. Some varieties of goats can be very not nice.
Feisty.
Actually, yeah, goats aren't really nice creatures usually. No.
Mm-hmm. That's a shame.
I think, no, actually, geese. Geese are the best watch animals.
Oh, yeah.
Because, yeah, you wake them up and you never hear the end of it.
They make a ton of noise and they can actually be quite imposing when they spread their wings out and go after you.
Oh, yeah. Launch itself from the ground coming straight for your face.
Bad experience from the golf course.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I hit what was meant to be a drive. The ball arced up, took a sharp turn down, right into the side of one of them Canadian honkers. And the thing wobbled for a minute and stumbled over, and I went over to check it out to see if it's okay. And all of a sudden, there's like 20 of them, and they make this semicircle like, yeah, come on, dude. You just try it. Come on. And I'm like, okay.
Come on.
Too
come
many
on,
of
bring
you.
It, bring it.
Later. No,
bring it
no,
on. Bring it.
No, they stared me down. I backed off.
So what are you saying, Dale? Be nice to geese or you might get goosed? Is that what you're saying?
You'll get gang-pecked. I don't know.
Sounds like a geese rendition of West Side Story. They're coming after Dale.
That'd be fun to watch. It's good YouTube material.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
The attack of the geese.
Background music.
Yes. Gar is scheming up his very last moral, which will come up after the last part.
of the Great Plague.
I am.
Are you crafting? Excellent.
Yes. Yes, I'm doing. I'm multitasking more than I need to. I should have stuck to those permutations in algebra. Oh boy. I'm trying to install some equipment on my side here. More electronics for Gar. More electronics for Gar.
Now, so you weren't ready for today's quiz. That's going to be part of your permanent record, young man.
Oh, you ask away. I'll have an answer. It won't be right, but I'll have an answer. That's how that works.
You'll be graded on your moral.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, you'll enjoy it then. I'll be a winner.
You usually are.
Yeah.
Why would today be any different?
Yeah, because it's Friday. No, that doesn't.
Because
help.
It's Friday. But only until midnight. But only until midnight.
Yes. And then I get a reprieve.
Then it's Saturday.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Then I've got to get to work and all that other things. Oh, why do they call it work? It's supposed to be fun. I don't know how that works. Okay. Yep. Oh, my gosh. Yes.
And
I'm doing hardware now.
GGSI
Paper says?
Yeah, has joined us in the chat along with Fogsbane, good old Bob, and Professor Feather from Psycho Cinema and Unsane Radio.
Oh, I didn't know Professor Feather was here. That's cool.
Yep.
And to all the other netizens out there in cyberspace, hello, hello, and hello.
Hello. Hello.
Oh, hello.
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 Okay, this should work, and it's not working. I'm going to lose a digit. Oh, there it goes. Oh, my God, that hurt. Okay.
I don't know. All of a sudden, I feel like dressing up like an elderly nanny. Anyway. I have no idea.
That was a sidebar. Okay.
Whoa, that came out of me.
Oh, hello.
All that hello-ing?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Like Mrs. Doubtfire.
Hello.
Hello. Doubtfire moment.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are scary.
They're momentary flashes. I'll be myself in a moment. That is after we finish The Great Plague. From the Weird Circle.
Woo-hoo!
Goat, please. So sick.
Bend and kneel down. And Grigsby, help me stand on the big man's back. I grasp one pole of the porch, which was just beneath the child's window, and then, pulling myself up inch by inch, I climb from the ground to the roof of the porch. The pole was wet and slippery, and my fingers were cut by splinters when I reached the porch. Panting and breathless, I just crouches there, waiting. I see Grigsby and Bender walk slowly around to the front of the house. Then I notice the window right in front of my eyes, with little white curtains blowing back and forth, and it brings a tear to my eye. Then I notice a little white bed inside the room, but the room's too dark and I can't see the child nowhere. It seems to me the whole world's quiet, and my breathing's as loud as an elephant's. When I hear...
Open up, old man! Open up! I'm telling you to open up the door! Wake up, old Peter, wake up! Hey, you old Peter, wake up before I pound the door down! Are you deaf? Well, open up!
He sleeps like a log.
He's playing the fox, I'll guarantee, pretending to be asleep. Wait a minute.
If you don't wake up, I'll smash the door!
Gentlemen! Gentlemen!
Where is he, Grigsby?
Up there in that window, right over your head.
Oh, there you are, you dimwit! Come on down and open up this here door!
Gentlemen, why do you come to wake up honest people at this hour of the night?
Stop playing the game, old Peter! Your time has come! You don't open up this door right away!
My time? You mean to kill me?
If you don't open up the door!
Gentlemen! Gentlemen, I'm afraid you're too late. A crueler fate than murder has taken the breath from my body.
What are you talking about?
You see, I'll open up the door, but you'll wish to heaven you had never visited this house. I'll be right down.
What's he talking about, Grigsby?
I'm not quite sure, Bender. Not quite sure.
I wonder how that fool Farrow's done.
Oh, he's done his job. I know Farrow. I wonder how long he'll keep us waiting in this rain.
If he don't answer soon, we'll break in the window on the side of the house.
Oh, here he is.
Come in. Come into the light where I can see you. Oh, woe unto you, gentlemen, for trespassing this house tonight.
What are you talking about anyway?
Look at my face, gentlemen. The black rings under my eyes and the black splotches on my arms. Do you have any idea what that is?
Black rings. Black splotches.
Blimey, Grigsby. It's the plague. The black plague.
Yes. The black plague. That's what it is. This afternoon, late this afternoon, my little granddaughter came in from play. Within 4 hours, she was dead.
Evie dead?
Come in, gentlemen. Look. Look. There she lies on the stairs.
Grigsby, look.
Look well, gentlemen. Because within the half hour, I should be lying by her side. Oh, the pain. Oh, the pain.
It's the plague, Grigsby. I've seen them before.
Run, gentlemen. Run to the tanning factory and breathe in the healing fumes of the tannery. The smell of the tan bark and the leather have curative powers. It's too late for me. But if you wish to spare yourself the horrible suffering of the plague, go. Go at once to the tannery and stay there as long as you can. Oh, the pain. My flesh. The pain. Oh, the pain. Help me, gentlemen. Help me. The pain.
Don't touch me, Peter. Come on, Bender. The tanner's factory. As fast as we can run. As fast as we can run.
Where's Farrow? Where's Farrow?
I'm right behind you, Bender. My word. It's the black plague, and nothing can save us.
Nothing but the air of the tannery. Let's get there. Hurry.
Hurry.
Bender.
Aye.
You sit here, next to me on this pile of tanning waste.
Right.
Farrow.
Yes.
You sit next to him and all breathe together now. Hard. One. Two. Three.
Are you sure the fumes from this tanning vat are good for the black plague? I've heard nothing can cure you once you've touched someone who's had it.
Oh, I never touched help, Peter. Did you, Bender?
Never once. Not even tapped him lightly on the shoulder.
But I touched the child.
You?
Yes, and right after that, I touched Bender. Remember Bender?
Then I must have it too. Look at me, Grigsby. How do I look?
Not so well, as a fact.
I don't feel well either. Not well at all.
Your face does look sort of, wouldn't you say, bloated, Grigsby?
I've got it. I've got the plague. That's what I've got. If Farrow must have it too.
But nobody touched me. Nobody. Nobody, Bender. I'm still all right.
You won't be for long, Grigsby.
What are you talking about?
I'm going to die. But you ain't going to live. You got us into this. I'll rub me hands on your face. That's what I'll do. Rub me hands on your face.
No, you don't, you. Give me that knife, Farrow.
He argues me.
Don't give it to him, Farrow.
I've got it now. And if you come near me, Bender, you know what'll happen to you.
What's the difference now? The plague or the knife makes no difference to me either way.
Stay away from me.
I won't stay away from you, Grigsby. My hands are covered with a disease and it'll soon be on your face.
You pig, you dog. I'll teach you.
You'll teach me what?
The knife. The knife.
Don't you.
That'll take care of him for a long time to come.
Bender's dead. And we'll be with him in a short time, Grigsby.
Oh, the plague. The black plague. What can I do, Farrow?
I don't know rightly, Grigsby. I'm just sitting here watching you, waiting to see. Maybe I'll learn something.
The leather scraps. Maybe if I rub myself with the leather scraps. Maybe if I... Farrow, I don't want to die. Not yet. I don't want to die. I'm the greatest thief that ever lived. Clever, too. Nobody ever beat Grigsby before, nobody.
Nobody ever did before, Grigsby.
But they ain't going to this time. No, they ain't. Well,
maybe the black plague's got more power than you have. You can't fight the plague, Grigsby.
Is me face turning black?
I can't rightly tell you.
Me eyes. How do me eyes look?
Red and swollen.
Oh, any black rings around them?
Oh, give it time. It takes time for the black plague to grow.
Time. Time.
If you'll sit still, it won't be half as painful to die.
Maybe if I breathe deeply.
That won't do any good.
What? Do I have to die?
I guess you do. I guess you do. But don't worry. You'll have plenty of warning before you die. The pain will tell you. The screaming pain.
The pain. The screaming pain.
And then Grigsby collapsed, crying like he was a baby. I sat there for one whole hour watching Grigsby. Bender was dead. As the time slowly passed and the night became morning, I noticed a group of men heading toward us. They were carrying guns. And I poked Grigsby in the ribs. Hi, Grigsby. Somebody's coming.
What's the difference now, fella?
You'll find out.
Hello over there.
Hello.
Mr. Grigsby.
What do you want?
I don't know. Ask him.
I'm Mr. Grigsby.
Oh, yes, Grigsby.
And are you Mr. Farrow?
That's what they call me.
And the man with the knife in him is Mr. Bender, I presume.
You'll have to take my word for it. You can't ask a dead man no questions.
Gentlemen, in the name of the law, you're under arrest. Seize them, boys.
Wait a minute. Arrested? For what am I arrested?
For what? For housebreaking and plotting against the life of a child. And now it's for murder.
How do you know all these things?
How do I know? He told me.
Old Peter?
Yes, I told him, Mr. Grigsby.
You? You told him? I thought you were dead of the Black Plague.
I know you did. I wanted you to think so. It took a lot of trouble painting on black spots with kitchen charcoal.
Charcoal? Let me go. Let me go.
I wouldn't try that, Mr. Grigsby.
But Levy, she was dead of the plague. I saw myself lying on the steps, dead as can be.
Evie was sound asleep in her own bed. You saw a dressmaker's dummy wrapped in cloth and smudged with charcoal lying on the steps.
And I thought I was dying, that's what I thought. Bender thought he was dying too.
You, Fado. You were the one who told us we had the plague, you did.
You were the one who gave me the knife to kill Bender, you
I always told you, Grigsby, I'm willing to learn.
You climbed through the window to kill the child, yes. You must have known. She wasn't dead.
Yes, I knew she wasn't dead. She was lying in her bed, smiling at me as I came through the window. Smiling and laughing. And she told me where to find her grandfather.
Find him?
Yes, find him. And the two of us got together and got an idea. An idea about the plague. Me knowing how afraid you always are of being sick.
You double-crossed me, that's what. I promised I'd kill if you double-crossed me, and I...
Come along, Grigsby, and you're under arrest. And you too, Farrow. Take them away, boys.
Mr. Officer, don't take Mr. Farrow away. See, Farrow's my friend.
I don't think there's any charge against Farrow, Mr. Officer.
I'll kill him!
Come on, Grigsby. There's a nice jail cell waiting for you.
I'll get you for this someday, Farrow, then I will!
Drag them away, boys, and don't waste any more time with him. Oh, Miss Evie.
Yes, Mr. Officer.
I have a special job for you. From now on, Mr. Farrow here is in your charge.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Officer. I like Chief Farrow.
And I like you too, Evie.
Grandpa, can we ask Mr. Farrow to my birthday party today?
I don't see why not, Evie, child. I think he deserves a piece of birthday cake.
Oh, well, blimey, if it hasn't been a long time since my mouth tasted birthday cake.
What do you intend to do in this town, Mr. Farrow? Settle down here and get employment?
I'll do anything, old Peter. Anything, as long as I've enough to keep a roof over my head and food in my stomach. If you've got any ideas, I'm willing to learn.
I think I might have some ideas, Mr. Farrow. It's just possible that Evie and I both might.
From the time-worn pages of the past, we have brought to you the immortal tale, The Great Plague. Bellkeepers, toll the bells.
From the time-worn pages of the past, we have heard another immortal tale in The Weird Circle. Bellkeeper, toll the bell. Be here in this lonely cave by the restless sea once again next time for another immortal tale in The Weird Circle.
Okay.
I got a pre-flush. Hang on a second. What? I got pre-flushed. What was that about?
Well, that's just the water sound effects. I thought that was a nice little segment.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. All right. Let it go this time.
Guess that didn't fly the way I wanted to. Let's see how this turns out.
Well, glad I got two arms.
Treehouse Radio proudly resents Cars Moral of the Story. I'm a scary sniffer.
Hey now. Never met a tannery I didn't like to sniff. Let's see.
Jesus
The biggest problem of being a hypochondriac is the thought that maybe, somehow, some way, you might be right. There you go.
Yeah, it was all about dreams.
All about dreams.
Yes, it was.
Now, I'm off to the leather tannery place. I got some sniffing to do.
Yes. Inhale the floor shines and enjoy.
Uh-huh.
That moral guard, I'm just saying, moral guard reminds me of I was going through a cemetery and I saw a tombstone that said, I told you I was sick.
Yeah, exactly.
They didn't believe me.
Out of my 9,526 jobs this month, one of them was exposure to working in leather. Yeah, there you go. And I don't think I'd sit there and necessarily smell all that jazz if you don't have to. Some of it's rather toxic.
Yeah.
I could understand that.
Yeah.
I can understand that. Yep.
But if you've got the plague, if you've got the plague, why not go sniff something weird anyway?
Yeah.
I mean, they were in merry old England way back when. They were sniffing coal dust all the time.
Yeah.
A little bit of tannery fumes with nerds.
Yeah, why not? Yeah. Better than sniffing a goose.
Hey, I didn't do that. Okay, I would do it. Let me put it this way. I would never do it again. I would never do it again. Yeah.
Wow.
Step away from the
goose.
That's
something you put on your resume.
Goose sniffer. Yeah.
Goose sniffer. But you never know. Hey, a job's a... Dave, you know by the number I have acquired that, you know, a job's a job. Right?
True.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
Perhaps a tune or two per tune?
Maybe we could squeak one in. Squeak
one
in.
Squeak one in, sure.
All right. We could squeak a quick
here's
tune
a wooden,
in here.
Here's a
no. I know. We'll treat Professor Feather to this one. It's quickie. It's only 2 minutes.
Here we
go.
1, 2, 3, 4. Wanna be a monster movie host, the king of UHF from coast to coast. Every Saturday night you'll see me up on the screen. I wanna make your baby jump, I wanna make your baby scream. I'll be bigger than Gulati, I don't hate to boast. I wanna be a monster movie host. Houlihan the weatherman, McChuck and Little John. Soup's got
we got a Godzilla movie on. The cool got some boo-boo for that no good dirty frog. Mush mouth the setting and the pizza eating dog. Turn blue, stay sick, life it ain't so hard. Everybody stand up and yell Oxnard. Little shop of horrors, house on Haunted Hill. Land back from outer space, I just can't get my fill. Tingling, that's the one I love the most. I want to be a monster movie host. The king of UHF from coast to coast. Every Saturday night you'll see me up on the screen. I want to make your baby jump. I want to make your baby scream. I'll be bigger than Goulardi. I don't need to boast. I want to be a monster movie host.
Gosh, who doesn't?
There you go.
Rock and roll Casey.
From Rock and Roll Casey, yep.
Yep.
Put that together. Very well. Very well done.
Yep.
Well, tomorrow, we lost CW. Tomorrow, we are back at 6:30. We have CBS Radio Mystery Theater with not the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, eighth, or ninth, or even the 10th biblical plague. No, it's the 11th plague from CBS Radio Mystery Theater as we cast the little pox upon ourselves.
Yes.
We've got radio fever.
So what happens when we're all done here?
At 8 o'clock?
8 p.m., say. Yeah.
It's time to go to the Twitches and see Horrible Horror starring Garza Ghoul. Boy, boy.
That's him.
Something like that.
That's
it. It's him.
Yep, at 8 Eastern, right when we're done wrapping it up here, get on over to them there Twitches and catch Horrible Horror starring Garza Ghoul. So,
Yeah, Dale and I were both on last time at the same time with you, Gar. So there you go.
I know. Oh. And I actually got two different comments from some of the viewers that I'm in contact with. And they were like, the guys from the radio show showed up. And I was like, yeah, they did. I was very happy about that.
I didn't last long. I ran upstairs to do my meds and never made it back down.
And that was it. Yeah. Well, no. I'm just really glad that you stopped by, Dale. I know you have internet fun, plus you've got, you know, the other medical stuff.
I still have my clothes on. So, listen, gang, we got to wrap it up. Thanks for joining us, Professor Feather, good old Bob, GGSI Paper Fox, and my lovely partners here on Erie House. Thanks.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left. But me and him.
And her and him.
When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
Can you dig it?
I can dig it? I dig it.
I knew you could.
How'd you go?
Oh, yep. Perfect. The goat filled that little gap. That was good timing.
There you go.
Well done.
There we go.
So Dale, I was saying before we ran out of time that I am so honored that you dropped by and were able to see the stuff that I put together as an entertainment. It's really cool to have you guys drop by. It really is. And Dave as well. Dave's been dropping by.
I'm usually there, buddy. I'm usually there.
Yeah. And we even have – Dave even gets into the credits of the monster movies that we show.
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is kind of interesting. Yeah.
But to be fair, you do some of, your other regulars, viewers, they're in there too, so –
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, even Bogus Kennard the Wonder Pony shows up, Dale. Get that.
Who? Who the hell is that?
Auguste Kennard, the Wonder Pony.
The Wonder Pony?
The Wonder Pony,
yeah.
Yes.
You have a Wonder Pony. Call.
Yeah, you wonder why it's a pony, because it's really a cricket, so that's why you wonder why it's a Wonder Pony. Yeah.
But, you know, it's better than sniffing gooses, you know, I guess. I don't know.
I think you might need help. I don't know. I don't know what you're
saying. As most horror movie hosts do, yes.
Yes, true.
Yes.
As they should.
Yes.
It's in the rule book.
No, I really am honored that you dropped by, Dale. That was really cool.
Oh, it was fun.
I've seen you in there twice so far, I think. But I can't remember my name, so I don't know.
Yeah.
And almost spoiler alert, I'm about ready to reach out to Mark DeWinziak, who's got his new Poe book out. I've ordered it as an audiobook. I haven't received it yet. Once I get it and get the chance to go through it some, I will get him on. We'll do it. Dale, we're going to do a full 90-minute Just Talk show. How's that?
Ooh. Wow, that'll be cool.
Because you don't need extra audio when Mark is on. You do not need extra audio. I'm telling you.
No, you really don't. He's extremely engaging. It's what I call good radio.
Yep.
Whenever he's on, it's good radio.
Oh. Say, can you see? While we've been engaging during the radio show, I was attempting to install a 27-inch monitor on my computer system. I got it working, but now I'm trying to put...
Not paying attention at work either, eh? Docking you another hour.
I was multitasking. I was listening to the show, sniffing a duck, and installing a new monitor.
That's
so amazing. There you go.
That's amazing.
Bogus Kennard, my Wonder Pony, would have been very, very proud. Bogus Kennard, the Wonder Pony, is a credit line that is added to the movie to make it funny, because it's just hilarious.
Oh,
it's
kind
of like Mr. Ed. But instead, it's Bogus Kennard, the Wonder Pony. And every time I see it, because I have a friend of mine that puts it in, and so I don't know when it's going to pop up. But when it does, I start laughing.
I remember. I remember the Ghoul did something similar, like back in his old days on WKBF, UHF, Dave, old 61. His credits, they would be like somebody like Harry, middle initial L, last name Bowes. Harry Elbows.
Yeah, okay.
Harry Elbows.
Yeah.
Names like that. Names like that.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Okay, I'm game.
But I like the Wonder
Maybe
Pony.
This
it's disturbing yet amusing.
It is. I was like, Bogus Kennard the Wonder Pony. I was like, okay.
Yeah. I don't know. How you invented that name, I'll never know.
He told me, and I forgot. Darn it.
He told you.
The
pony
it was
told
like
you?
Today. The creator of the pony told me. We were talking, and CW was on the horn, and I couldn't remember her name. I was like, I have no idea who she is. What's going on? Memory loss is very interesting. That's all I can say. Okay, so maybe that comes off.
But it came back to you.
In
short order.
Mm-hmm.
It came to you in short
order. Sorry?
That wasn't
a
long.
No, she told me her name.
Yeah. Well, that helped.
She told me. And then I was like, oh, okay, there we go. And then it worked okay. But I was like, I had a question to address to her, and I was like, the lady on the radio, what's her name? It's a number? It's a letter.
It's a number.
A number, yeah. CW is a number. Need to spend more time with your Sesame Street number. More time with your Sesame Street.
Yeah, differentiate between numbers and letters? Yeah, okay. I get it. I'll talk to Grover L. Monster about that. We'll see what we can come up with.
Numbers are followed by
That's right. Yeah, we love that guy.
Yes.
Yeah, yep, I don't know if I've ever told you, or maybe I should.
Your house was brought to you tonight by the number C and W. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes,
exactly.
The numbers C and W. Yes.
C and
yes.
W. Yeah.
Yes. I actually had from 1970 brain freeze. 70, maybe 3, maybe 75. I can't remember. There was a company called Child Guidance that actually released the first Muppet puppet Sesame Street characters that you could get as a kid. They were first. I've got Cookie Monster. I've got the
Ooh.
Count, and I've got Oscar the Grouch. Here, I've got those. Those are part of my toy funds. And plus I just did that. What was it? I did that thing with the Cookie Monster that I sent you guys. That was fun.
Yeah.
I liked him and I liked Grover because they were crazy.
Oh, yeah. Grover was hilarious.
Yep. Good old Super Grover.
Super Grover.
Super Grover,
but also,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
With the knight's helmet on and the cape.
Yep.
Now, Gar, you're a little bit younger than Dave and I, not much, but a little bit younger.
Yes,
do you
yes.
remember seeing the early Muppets on Ed Sullivan?
I've seen some of the black and white, like it was Cookie Monster, but they gave him like sharp teeth and fangs and stuff, and he ate an IBM computer.
Awesome.
And there were also a bunch of coffee commercials. Using the – and this is pre-Sesame Street.
Oh, God. You don't want Grover or the Cookie Monster on coffee at all. No.
No.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Huh, coffee. I haven't had coffee. Mm. There we
an
go.
Animal. In later Muppet stuff, I liked animals.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
As a kid, I had the animal puppet. And, oh, my – I love the animal puppet. Oddly, I don't have the animal puppet here. That's crazy. I don't know if I told you guys this. I ran across this, and I was like, oh, my gosh, I found it. When I was born, there was a clown doll, rubber face, some type of fabric hair or something. I can't remember. Anyway, this doll showed up on the Bewitched, show. Tabitha had it, okay?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
And, yeah. And I had that doll. It was in my crib growing up, so I had this doll. Well, I have a perfect condition replica of that doll. It was mass merchandised by Mattel or somebody who, I don't know. But I actually got it, and I'm like, oh, my God. And it's just, it's really cool to have that little doll. I don't know why. Weird. Weird, weird. But really cool. The thing about Grover that got me was when they had him, they would constantly put Grover, they'd put a necktie on him or a bow tie, and they'd make him a waiter.
Yes.
In a restaurant.
Yeah.
What?
Big mistake.
I don't know if they did the waiter, there's a fly in my soup, and Grover says, well, don't tell everyone, you know, or something.
Yeah.
Because everyone want one.
Yes.
They were all want one. Keep it to yourself, mister. Yeah, that guy. I love Grover. I love the Sesame Street. And, man, this is crazy.
I remember
how can I not
the,
figure out my
life? I remember the song Manamana. That was on Ed Sullivan with
I think I just played that on Horrible Horror in the last few weeks.
Yeah, because they redid that. They redid that for Sesame Street, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes,
The one that I showed was this really gruff-looking bearded Muppet.
Yeah.
And two young girl Muppets. And there were two girls.
Yeah.
And it was a little bit disturbing because of the what definitely looked like an age difference of puppets was going on there. A little bit disturbing for me. What the heck are you guys doing?
Gail. Talking about early Muppets, do you remember the Muppets being on the first season of Saturday Night Live?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
The Mighty Savard.
oh, what was that called? Fraggle Rock. It was something rock. They were like, weren't they like Viking-like characters or ogre things?
They had some different.
They were oversized.
I mean, once they were, you know, on another planet, and Kermit the Frog was always reporting and things like that. So,
yeah.
And,
but they had a running
okay.
thing with the talking rock or something. Was the god or something
yeah.
like that?
Yeah, Belushi hated the Muppets. He hated the Muppets.
Really?
He's probably afraid of them.
I don't know. Well, he could have been quote unquote tripping quite a bit while he was doing that show. We don't know. He
yeah.
had some stuff going on.
Well,
he
felt they didn't belong there. He felt they didn't belong there. He called them the effing Muppets, you know. And then I guess when they got on the international television through ITV, they said, "Well, I wonder what John Belushi feels about his effing Muppets now. They're the most watched program in the world."
Yeah, that was
true.
those two guys that would pan the show up in the balcony.
Oh yeah, Waldorf. Yeah,
yeah,
Waldorf
was the other one.
Yeah,
yeah. Oh god, those two guys were hilarious. And the chefs, the chef.
Yeah,
he was fun.
Now, you guys had something over me on that because when I was a youngster, and I heard about Saturday Night Live. And I heard they had Muppets on it. I would do everything I could to try to stay awake to watch the show. I never could. I never saw Muppet 1. I saw people talking, adults, and I was like, I hate this. Where are the Muppets? And I never saw them.
I was old enough to appreciate it when that show started. I was old enough to appreciate the humor. It was
yeah.
great.
Yeah,
it was great.
Passed out.
Great stuff. All the careers that got really jump started there. Holy cow.
Yeah.
I know.
Yep.
And it was so unfortunate that some of those cast members aren't still with us today, especially Gilda. And I think
yep.
Jim Belushi would just, I don't know where he would have gone or what he would have done, but he was just really amazing.
Yep.
Well, John Belushi had just finished his, really kind of his crossover movie with Continental Divide, which was kind of a romantic comedy.
Yeah.
And,
mm-hmm.
So it's only,
yeah,
it's just like when.
Little to no comedic stuff in that one.
Right. It's like
no.
when Lou Costello did his first movie on his own and died shortly afterwards, you know. 50
yeah.
Foot Bride of
Candy Rock.
What?
Yeah.
Candy Rock. Yeah. Yeah. And he died shortly after that. You know, just think of the, some of the stuff he would have been able to do even by himself that, you know.
Yeah, he was starting to look a little rough in that movie.
Yeah, he was. Well, look at all the abuse he took in throughout his career there with Bud.
Yeah.
He took a lot of physical abuse and did most of a good deal of those stunts himself, you know, so.
Yes, he did. He was a tough little guy.
Yes, he was.
He was a boxer.
Yeah, he was
time.
A boxer.
I just recently watched their story with Harvey Korman as Bud Abbott and Buddy Hackman played Lou Costello.
Yeah, Buddy Hackman played him, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't catch that. That was a made-for-TV movie I didn't catch.
Yeah, it was I recently on some one of my Roku channels, and I'm like, oh, I got to check this out.
Oh, was it?
Might have been on Freevee.
Yeah.
I've been watching some Freevee.
I have been watching Leverage there. Been watching Leverage reboot.
Yeah. I'm catching up on old Have Gun Will Travel for some reason.
Oh, right. Yeah, there you go. Paladin. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, let me send you something, Garth. I got to email you something. I sent Dave
the
proof.
Let it rip.
Well, let me find your... Where the hell is your my chat with you? Here it is. One of the recent ones. Duh. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. No, that's not it. That's not it.
I see you did see my little thing I shared telling what is it? I forget what I said. But the Walmart Star Trek phaser guns and stuff.
There you go. Check your book of facing.
I will check it. What is this? Oh, I can do it that way too.
Yep.
Have stick will travel. Oh, there you go. Yep. That's cute.
Well, I might do a little video there.
There you go.
Yep.
Well, you come up with a little theme song and have at it.
Because getting this guy to play with a stick is no problem.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I had dogs. Well, the last two dogs I had, they had really no interest in the stick thing.
He loves stick. Anything he thinks he's not supposed to have, he's slowly learning how to fetch, but it's more fun to say, "Oh, you want this? Come and catch me." That's how he gets his exercise, running like a mad fool across the lawn.
My dogs had no interest. They might have been communist because they had no interest in ownership of anything. It's like, there was no one toy that they liked over another. There was no, they might chase a ball or they might take seven steps and go, yeah, I'm done.
Yeah. He doesn't have a whole lot of stamina. Collies are lazy too, but they do like to play. They're like regal clowns, royal derps. Very regal looking, but if you get them playing, they're kind of goofy.
Mm.
That's what everybody.
So, did you guys kind of get a weirdness about our selection of radio shows this week? Like,
no, I know they were cool.
I never would have thought. If you would have told me when I was 10 or 20 or maybe 30, you're going to live through a plague, I would have gone, get out of here. And then 2021 happened, or 2020 happened or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We've
percentage-wise,
we've been sitting on this.
We lost as many
Dale,
people.
We've been sitting on this one.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Dale. I'm sorry.
No, I just was wondering if this recent virus was as bad as, like, in terms of lost lives and things like that, as the flu of the 19, the late World War II era.
Right.
That was pretty bad.
The 1917 flu.
Right.
Well, they didn't have a vaccine. They never did have a vaccine. They kind of grew into the immuneness of it. But we did surpass the number that died. Mostly because we have more greater population.
Well, that's what
now.
I mean. You would have to do a real stat. You'd have to do it on percentage of population.
Right. And did it exceed normal death mortality rates?
Our numbers exceeded, but the percentage may not have.
Yeah.
But it's still, there's still two nasty plagues, both of them,
Mm-hmm. Nothing like the bubonic. There you go. Or the black, is
there
that
you
the
go.
Black death? Is that the black death?
But my question is this.
Death, yes.
Why isn't there a dance number called the bubonic? I mean, come on.
There should.
We need a party.
I'm sure a punk rock band has been named that or something.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
Bubonic fell.
What? This is a reality thing here in Florida, and I don't know why they do it. I wouldn't do it. In the last broadcast, the radio program, the old circle, the weird circle, yeah, that one. They went into this motel hotel thing, and people are partying, going, end of the world, let's party. Here in Florida, they have hurricane parties. And people die in the hurricane party because the parties are held where? At the beach. It's like, just grab your stuff and get in the car and go. What's the problem? But there are people that do that. I don't understand that myself.
I have a Darwinian approach to this.
Okay.
What does Darwin say? The kid who eats marbles shouldn't live long enough to procreate.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, give a kid a fork. If he sticks it in the outlet, maybe he didn't need to stick around. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Selective breeding.
Yeah, or Darwin Awards. That's
horrible. Darwin Awards are great. I mean, they're almost inventive the way some of these people got themselves killed.
I agree. I can't disagree. The way that some of these people are doing this is just like, what's wrong with you? Why? I don't know. I mean, I was young and dumb, but I was never dumb enough to go, let's push the envelope here and see how far we can test this. No. I never got that. So there's a special button or key on this darn monitor to get the base off of it, and I'm struggling. And after all the jobs I've had, I should be rather adept at this. What's that? Oh, what is that? I don't know. I'm having a lot of fun. Computer heck. I'm in computer heck. That's what it is.
Computer Hades.
But anyway, computer Hades. We love our computers until they don't do what we want to do, and then they are our enemy.
They are among the damned. That's right.
Yes. Yes. yeah. Oh, but did you guys get anything special for President's Day, consumer-wise?
I went to work. I didn't buy any sheets, no. No.
You didn't buy any sheets? No sheets for Dave.
No sheets for Dave.
I said a prayer to all my favorite dead presidents. I like collecting their pictures.
Do you have pictures of every president?
No, just certain dead ones.
Oh, okay.
Honest money, Gar.
Honest money. I always... When I learned about this guy, I always liked this guy, Howard Taft. Taft came up with something called the Trust Busters, and he went about shaking up business going, there will be no monopolies on my watch. And I always liked that. I always thought that was really cool. He didn't do much more than that, but he did do that.
Yeah, it almost worked, too.
I think he had the distinction of being the only president to be buried in, like, a piano case.
He was a big guy. He was a big guy.
He was a big man.
He was. And one thing about him I recall was he said he only had one term. And after he was out of it, he said, I never wanted to be president. I did it, and I'd never want to do it again.
he became Chief Justice of the Supreme Court after that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I only had the Trust Buster thing. Taft Busters, but they were later called Trust Busters, busting up what would be monopolies in the business world.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of cool.
There were other Tafts in politics, too, I think, back in the day. Wasn't he from Ohio?
Well, yeah. I mean, he was from Ohio, as were his one son was governor of Ohio for a while, and so was Robert Taft, who was our governor as well. So
yes,
it was a grandson of William Howard Taft.
Sweet.
And all roads lead to Ohio.
Away from Ohio.
It's weird how that happens. Like, if I had never met you guys, I never would have realized how much Ohio had going on.
How important Ohio is, did you? Well, that's what we're here for.
Well, we are truly the horror host mecca for televised horror hosts, you know. And
yes.
What some people might find it insulting, but to say real television, you know, where it's like your job.
What? Was Cassandra Peterson Was she born in Ohio?
No, I don't think so. No.
Oh, okay. Maybe she was a Valley girl completely. I don't remember.
Could be.
Could look that up.
But, no, I in looking at the horror host that you guys had, oh, well, yep, okay, here we go.
Yep. We had a lot. Huh. We had Mad Daddy, Goulardi, Big Chuck, The Ghoul, Superhost. For a while, Sir Ghastly Graves was here for a short time. Syndicated.
Short time, and then we had Frankie and Drac. They were
Frank
for
and
short
Drac.
Time.
Oh yeah, jeez, yeah. And
now was
Packing,
that the Frankenstein that wore a football helmet? Was it that one?
No. No, that guy's from your area. He was the football guy was from Florida. Really? Yeah, there's not a whole lot.
I had no idea.
My old partner, who really was a savant, as much as Dave knows about radio, he knew about horror hosts. You know, did a lot of research, and he dug up very little on that guy. He knows probably more than most horror host historians, but there's not a whole lot. There's one picture, like, of him with his football jersey on with a Frankenstein head. Is that the guy you're thinking of?
Yeah, that's it.
I forget his name offhand right now.
I got nothing. I just had that image in my head. I don't know where it came from.
And you guys
there.
Had Dr. Paul Bearer. Dr. Paul Bearer.
Doctor, yes. Yes,
in a couple,
and
couple of incantations of him, I think, too. Didn't like a.
There's one, and I don't know if he's related or it's just an actor that wanted to keep going with it.
Yeah.
Which is an homage to him, I guess, but I'm not sure. Now, there was a guy. No, that's. What was that guy's name? I can't remember. I see him. I don't think he's out of Canada. The first horror movie host I ever saw as a youngster, first one ever, his ratings in that area, in that region, in that locale, he outdid Johnny Carson on Nielsen ratings. And it's like, what?
Yeah. Goulardi destroyed everything over here.
Yeah.
He was like the Beatles over here.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you said that crime went down or something like that when he
crime
was
went down. Yeah. Local dances were canceled. School dances and stuff like that were canceled. Oh, Goulardi's on. Nobody's going to show up.
Yeah.
In the meantime, if he had an appearance somewhere, it would be either sold out or overflowing.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And I don't understand why I think it's a dead art now, but local area television stations are no longer creating local area content.
No, they're not.
They'll do news, and that's all. And then
that's
everything
it.
Else is piped in from somewhere else, or it's a half hour program about a pill that makes your big toe small or something. I don't know.
Oh my God! Oh my God!
What? But, I don't know. It's just weird. But you and I, Dave and you, Dale, and myself, lived through an era where local area content affected the entire locale of that area. We had mall openings, ribbon cutting contest, and our children host and our horror host and our midday host, they were there.
And
there were polka host, whatever.
Polka host.
You know, the barn dancing and whatever, you know, I don't know. But that was going on. And there were parades where our heroes on local area TV were creating history, which has just disappeared. I spoke with someone in a locale up north, and I mentioned someone who had affected 30 years worth of the history of that area. And they said, nope, never heard of them. I'm like, what in the, but I mean, you know,
Well, this stuff was so localized before the internet, it was difficult for the average Joe to become aware of a horror host in another area.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I didn't find out anything about Zacherly until much later in life. And he was around since
the
50s. Same with Vampyra. I was much older when I learned about those. I read a little bit in Famous Monsters, you know. That was my first inkling that, oh, my God, there was somebody else like the Ghoulardi. Hey.
I went to one of those video rentals, a Blockbuster,
mm-hmm.
and they had a video of Zacherly, and I got it. I own a rendition of it in some form around here. And I saw it, and I was like,
"Yeah, and it's
oh my
called
gosh.
Horrible Horror by chance, isn't it?"
It is called Horrible Horror.
Yes.
Did I steal that? No, it just happened.
There's a Roku channel that has that right now. I think it's Tubi.
Yeah. Yeah, and oddly, it's called same thing.
Yeah.
Except Starring Guy the Ghoul is on there to make changes a little bit, but you know, and so, nobody's come after me, thank gosh. But, you know, and I wasn't trying to do anything to undermine him. If anything, an homage to him.
Oh, I...
So that was a weird way that I first saw him. Zacherly was on a VHS tape.
Yep.
And you saw it in the Chronicles of magazines.
Does it contain any of his real early, like, black and white stuff, or is it was it something more up to date? Would you say?
I've seen so much stuff about him that it gets confused in my mind. I have seen him talking to the box that's supposed to have his wife in it.
Yeah.
I've seen those, and I've seen some black and white things where he's doing scientific experiments using broccoli or cauliflower or something. And jello molds and all sorts of.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I think the ghoul might have gotten inspired by Zacherly because he did a jello thing when he came back to New 61.
But even weirder is you see Zacherly getting paired up with the music guy, the oldest teenager guy,
Clark.
Dick Clark, yeah, there we go. That could
yeah.
start with a D. I was like,
his
Dick,
brother was Dale Clark.
He was, yeah, there you go, Dale Clark. Yeah, you're related.
Dale Clark.
Third cousin.
Dale Clark.
Yeah,
there you go. So, mm-hmm. so Zacherly was on the same program co-hosting with Dick Clark for a teenage music thing. And you're going like, my mind's exploding right now. Okay, I'm like, what? But so, you know, you had all of these things, these mutations, permutations, whatever. It's amazing the impact that was made. And I'm kind of happy that, you know, there are still other people out there doing it now to keep it going.
Yes.
You need to get your feet wet again there, Dale. You really
yes.
do.
I know.
I don't know how you're going to do it, but you can do it.
And
whether it's a one-man band or you
it's
have
gonna
help
It's
going to
have to be a one-band band for now. I don't have any collaborators locally. And my kids grew up on me. They were good.
I know. What the heck? They were good fodder.
Some of my best shows. Well, no, they were clever. They would co-write some of the stuff, especially when I was doing a spoof of something.
Yeah, no, I saw it. I loved it. I thought that was it. I wish I had co-hosts in a certain thing. And who knows, something might be brewing, and I might end up with a co-host soon. I'm not sure.
It's easier for me, having done a lot of live stuff, you know, especially like DJ stuff and being more forward with the crowd than just playing records, you know. It's easier for me to have somebody or something to bounce off of. It's very difficult to do just like to do a talk show and just talk by yourself and be engaging and talk to your audience like they're the only people in the, or like you're talking directly to them. That's not an easy thing to do. and stay on topic. You know what I mean? People, I think, like you and me, Gar, we get caught in sidebars. We go from sidebar to sidebar.
Oh, I'm deer in headlights half the time I'm performing. I'm like, well, I don't know.
You
know,
you manage, though. You pull it together because you're the one running that show. You know what I'm saying? You're the focal point. You know when to go in and out and whatever.
Right. But the best thing about it is that I actually have the opportunity to immediately interact with the viewers. They say something, I read it and I go, oh, and that reminds me, blah, 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 you know, and we have an interaction, which we didn't get on the TV before. And, you know, so
yeah.
That's a plus. That's a huge plus.
I'm a bit of a coward. I like the idea of editing. Editing is almost more fun than performing. Well, it is more fun than performing, unless you're with, you know, a bunch of talented people, then the performing gets real good. But when I work with Dave and there's been other people, it's just so much easier for me because I got things to bounce off of or react to.
Yeah.
I enjoy the editing because it's a learning process. I'm learning how to edit. And I've got friends up north. Yeah, my producer shows me what, like on the Cookie Monster thing, when I finally finished the final version of that, he walked me through the entire thing. We were on the phone, and he has his open, or he was looking at, he's telling me, do this, take notes, and this is how you do it. And it took, I ad-libbed the thing on air live, and then we took it and we modified it, and it got so much better. And it was like,
yeah,
oh, there you go.
That's the beauty of editing. Like, you can take something that might be rough in a few spots and just clean it right up.
Right.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Now, when I did it, everybody thought, man, that was pretty funny there, Gar. And I was like, okay, great. Well, there you go.
Dave is super organized. When I've worked with Dave, everything is like laid out. And when I've been a guest, either in a couple of skits or even co-hosting like the Superman show, it's just so formatted. It was easy. And Dave is great to work with.
The neat thing about the Superman thing was half of it was kind of the scripted stuff, and the other half was stuff we just did off the cuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And because we did not have everything plotted out, but we had several segments that were plotted out, and the rest of them were just all off the cuff.
Well, yeah,
and
some of it had to be because we didn't know exactly how the tour was going to go.
Right.
Right.
No, yeah, right. But, I like, because when you have a script, you know you got something in there that works. When you're going to go off the cuff, you don't always know, you know.
But again, that's the that's where the editing comes in.
And
Dave is one of the few horror hosts that I've seen that uses multi-cameras a lot, too. So you can do edits and keep that live feeling with the same conversation. You jump to speaker to speaker to maybe both of them or whatever.
Right, because you just take a different camera and pick it up with a different camera and you're all set.
Yeah, and it's seamless.
Producer wants us to build an entire set so that we can do the entire thing live, but we're going to have multiple cameras, multiple set circumstances and surroundings where we'll cut to a thing where I'm going to be in a high back chair reading a book to people that's really short and funny, or we're going to, you know, do different things, possibly have a green screen area. I don't know, but I'm thinking we're going to take like 1,000 square feet of a basement and turn it into basically a studio. With lighting, gigs, things, all that, yeah.
That's
and,
what I'm working
that's
on.
That's my dream.
My biggest problem is the ceiling's kind of low down here.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, so that's good, yeah.
It just makes the lighting tougher.
Yes.
You can
camera angle your
way out of it, but the lighting is more difficult.
Right. I'm limited in lighting here, and it shows, but...
Yeah.
Well, guys, I'm gonna cut this short because I need to start putting things together with all this computer stuff. There you go. Yeah.
I was just gonna say what we need to do at this point is go ahead and turn off the house lights, turn off the three spotlights, And stepping into the middle spotlight is the one, the only Jimmy Durante. Thanks, guys. It was a lot of fun tonight.
Good night. Good night.
Thanks,
always
Jimmy.
Fun.
Very good.
It's time to say
always fun.
Get well, Dave.
All the best, Dave.
What more is this say but good night?
Billy Dave.
Good night.
We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Arrivo, up we the day, and
ink-a-dink-a-dink-a-doo.
Good night.
That's you.
Good night. Good night, folks.
Get some rest,
good
brother.
Good night, Mrs. Calabash.
Working
chicken
on it.
Soup.
Working on it.
Chicken soup. Heals everything.
Chicken soup.
It does.
Yes, it was all about dreams.